simple answer. But I will say this to you, as Ellison covers the onside kick, are you effing kidding me? And it's 6:36 to play in the game. Russell, are you kidding?
I'm sorry, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. What did you say?
It's 13 minutes to go. I guess anything can happen here.
What are you doing just sitting there?
I don't know. And that guy batted that ball forward. Can you bat a ball like that? Can you take it? Can that guy there, he took it and batted it away from everybody.
It was an Ole Miss player who batted it.
It was? It looked like a bammer that batted it. So that's a bammer player did it. It's got to come back to that spot, doesn't it? You can't knock it forward like that. Reminds you of the Holy Roller game. Guy, he's got a really cool vintage fro, Jerry. Jerry, you ever thought about growing your hair back and wearing like a vintage fro?
No, not really. You know, I never really went the fro route. But I did have me some high top, though.
I had a fro.
And I brought that thing from Oak Ridge, and when I got to UT, people fit my style. They took it and ran with it. And
you had the kid and play. You had the kid and play high fade.
Oh, yes, sir.
Very sweet. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Tony, it's BK from Nashville. How are you?
Hey, BK in Nashville. How you doing, buddy?
Actually, I'm at Cedar Bluff and Peters right down the road.
That's great, man. I'm glad you're here tonight.
You know, great day today. Parents' weekend, I came and spent the weekend with my son, and he's thriving at the University of Tennessee as a freshman, and it's all great. And then watching Auburn get waxed and watching Ole Miss waxing Alabama in their house, it's just a great day. It's an awesome day. And Marcus Mariota is going to take it to Johnny Football tomorrow. It's a great weekend. It makes up for last weekend, I can assure you.
Yes, and my Eagles are going to beat the Cowboys. They're going to undo what they did last week in the Georgia Dome, so we're all going to have a great weekend.
Really, I don't know. I'm not feeling Chip Kelly too much.
He's awful. He's horrible. For some reason, my college coach and my pro coach both have to reinvent football. They can't just call the game and win. You know what I mean?
Hey, yeah, I agree with you. Let me ask you, watching Ole Miss go in and stick it in Nick Saban's pie hole in his house, how great is that?
Oh, you know what's great about it is that Bammer Dave is going to have his second consecutive sleepless Saturday night, because you know he'll be up pacing the floor after this game tonight. And you are exactly right.
And you know what? That place, while Tennessee has taken it on the chin for a couple of years, or several years, the fans have shown up. Those Bammers not going to show up when it is first heading south to them. They're not.
Look how empty it is right now.
Yeah, they were flocking. When Treadwell caught that pass, they were flocking out of that stadium.
Oh, it's going to be great to hear Saban chastise his fans.
Oh, yeah. For leaving. He gets away with it.
So my thing is, the SEC's wide open. I know, you know, last week was disappointing, gut-wrenching, and I get all that, but, I mean, we got a shot. I mean, I went to the Georgia Vanderbilt game last week. Georgia is nothing special. They got a great running back, but I'm telling you, they're nothing special.
No. The league is wide open. The division is wide open. The entire league is wide open, though. And the Bammers just scored again. And it's about to be a 6-point game.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, it's going to be a 6-point. It's 6-point game with 4:33 to go in the football game.
Tony, don't do this to me.
I'm sorry.
My heart out.
I'm just telling you, the Bammers, don't give up on the Bammers, brother.
Rip my heart out.
Nick Saban is reapplying his Kiwi for the stretch drive here.
This is the Geno Swift kick.
Oh, yeah. They recovered the onside kick. Hold on to your hat. They had a kid knock a ball 30 yards on an onside kick. I don't think I've ever seen that, Russell. Have you seen a guy bat a ball like that?
Mm-mm.
That's bad.
Oh,
And it stayed in bounds. I mean, I don't know how that happened. And this tomato can, they have a quarterback. I mean, he can't play. He couldn't play dead. And they are somehow back in it.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
All right, brother. Anything else for us today?
No, it's all good.
You're the man. Hey, have a great night. Jerry, anything you want to add to that phone caller's call?
No.
Anything you want to add, Jerry, to this Alabama game? Who you guys like in this spot? I'd rather have the 6-point lead
in
football.
What do you do if you're Bama here? Do you onside kick again with 4.5 minutes and
how many
timeouts?
No, you have 3 timeouts. No, not with your defense. No, you don't. Although they have scored at will on you. I don't know.
Yeah, but Bama's shut down their run for the most part, and you know they're probably going to look to keep the clock moving here.
What would you do, Jerry?
I'd kick it and play defense. You know, at this point in the game, they're going to be tight. Ole Miss is going to be tight.
Let that game come to you.
Yep, let the game come to you and hand it to that number two.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, you're on the air.
Yoshi Hee Ho.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Jerry, I love you. Glad to see you back on the show. Tony, I just wanted to just see what you thought. I know you're not a big gambler, but what do you guys think on what the opening line will come out to be against Florida next week?
I would say that's a great question, because if Tennessee would have won, I would have thought Tennessee would have been maybe -1, -2. Maybe Florida
by a point or two.
-2. What are you thinking?
I was thinking us by a field goal.
No. No way. Not now.
Really?
Oh no. No. No, I would think they'd be favored just by a couple points.
My buddies agree. I've got a few people over here. They thought it would be a pick.
Yeah, it's going to be close to a pick. It's going to be something of that ilk.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry, what does Jerry think?
Man, you know, as far as the point spread goes, I can see it hovering anywhere from 1 to 3, Florida being favorite.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's going to be somewhere in that neighborhood or a pick or something close to that. Kind of like Oklahoma. Didn't Oklahoma start out one way and went the other and basically ended up as a pick at kickoff?
Right. I think it started Oklahoma was favored by 1.5, and then we jumped up and then went back to a pick and just kind of flip-flopped from there on.
Yeah, it was and you might see that kind of action this week on this game. The bottom line is, with these two teams, you just don't know what you're going to get with either team right now, because I don't think either team really knows who they are. And we're just so frustrating because we're so close to being a very good football program. Well, you win that game last week, and I hate to make this point. You win that game last weekend, and we're openly on here talking about how we're going to win the Southeastern Conference with a straight face. We're as good as anybody in this league if you win that game last weekend. That's a step Ole Miss is getting ready to take tonight. They just got a huge first down. And if they make one more first down, they're throwing it all over the yard.
They're not just sitting there pounding it between the tackles trying to make Alabama use their timeout. They're throwing the ball.
They're
trying to take it.
They're attacking them downfield.
Instead of hoping that it comes to them,
which we didn't attack at all. I don't know. I think the streak ends next week, personally. And I know that makes no sense, but it's got to end.
I truly hope so. Like all the other writers and people in the media and in Knoxville, I'm thinking, well, we can't pick Tennessee unless they're going to win, unless they do win. But I'm giving it nothing but a positive approach, and hopefully we'll do it. Last thing I want to do, and I'll hang up and listen. Leonard Fournette today. What do you guys think about that?
I was telling these guys, they don't believe me. He had 185 yards before contact today. I mean, when people see the numbers on that game, it was staggering, the performance that LSU put on that team today. I mean, you talk about dog whipping somebody. They were telling them, we're going to run the ball over there, get you some. You all get in line. You talk about a man, buddy. That guy's a man.
The thing that's impressive about LSU, too, is, you know, they've had subpar quarterback play for so long, and I think Brandon Harris has finally stepped up and taken that job by the horns. He's a nice player.
Yep.
And I know I said one more thing. What color could I tell my stylist to get in my hair that would give me the Nick Saban look on Monday? I don't know what color to tell her to dye it. I'm really thinking like a bronze.
Bronze is the old man. What is Russell? What was that crayon? There was a crayon that wasn't gold.
Maybe magenta.
Magenta. It was a crayon. It was, you got to go with Crayola.
The thing I like about Saban's do, though, is he's got like the Trump kind of golden sheen dye job around the sides, but then he's got the island of baldness in the back.
No, it's covered.
But the hair that covers it is gray.
It's filled in.
He's got like a gray streak, kind of like a skunk spot.
It's very cool. Saban is aging very gracefully, very much. He looks like kind of a fat Huey Lewis over there on the sidelines right now, which is kind of cool. But I hope you have a great day, man. Thank you. Good Sunday morning to you.
Have a good night.
Jerry, what's going to happen here? What's Ole Miss going to do with this football on third down and 9, maybe the biggest play of the game?
Not going to convert. They're going to end up having to punt. Bama's going to have one more full possession.
They're going to get the first down. This is going to set the tone. Snap the ball! Oh, they had too many men on the field. They should have snapped it.
The official was standing over it.
They're going to get it. This sets the tone for us next week. Ooh, almost intercepted. Oh, my gosh. As I said, it's going to set the tone for us next week.
So Bama is going to get the ball back 3 minutes and a timeout.
Mm-hmm. With that crummy quarterback.
It's a big punt.
41 points tonight for the Vols in the first half. Most for a first half since 2004. 31 points in the second quarter. Most in any quarter since 2000. Tennessee had punt returns and kick returns for touchdown tonight. First time that's occurred since 1957 in the same football game. That's a lot of football played in Neyland Stadium.
Nice.
1957. They're going to have to go 94 yards now in 3 minutes. That's, you could talk about earning it. 49-yard pass completion, longest of the season, Dormady to Williams. Alvin Kamara, second ball ever with a rushing and punt return touchdown the same game. Jerry, if this is done right, speaking of Tennessee football, how many receivers are in the rotation? I was talking about this with Tony Robinson tonight. He doesn't understand having 10 receivers in your rotation. And by the way, 9 receivers caught passes tonight.
You're talking 5. You take the guys, obviously, who won are good, and I'll take a guy that's been on campus 2 or 3 years already before any freshman, no matter how good they were. I mean, you got to understand, Marquez North, those guys are good. So I could see in a situation where, you know, our upperclassmen were just inadequate, and they just couldn't cut the mustard. But our upperclassmen, the guys that have been on campus for 2 years or more, those guys can play. So, traditionally, at the height of wide receiver, you think about it. I mean, we went with Alvin Harper, Carl Pickens, Lee Wood was like our fifth wide receiver, Vince Moore and Anthony Morgan. those were your 5. Those were the 5 that you traveled with. You know who was redshirted? We redshirted Craig Faulkner, Corey Fleming, and Ronald Davis. All those guys were on scout team. Getting ready for the 92 season, 91 and 92 season, because they...
So 5's enough. 6 enough. I'm simulating the breathing. I'm simulating the breathing right now of Coker. Wow.
The lacerated spleen shot.
He just got his torso
right
ripped off. Oh, my. Marrona meh.
That looked like the Nathan Peterman shot last year where he got bent in half.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. It's a good time for me to remind you, Dalton Bering and Hydraulic. Let me tell you something about them. If you're hunting for your
Jacob
bearings...
Cooper's
like
Jacob Cooper's looking hunting. He's hunting for his bearings, yeah.
Yes. Jacob, I got news for you. They have hoses, too, because you're going to need some hoses inside. Some hose assembly, some fittings, some couplings. You're going to need some couplings to put yourself back together after that tonight. They have hydraulic motors, thousands and thousands of bearings online, DaltonHydraulic.com. Serving worldwide from Granger County, Tennessee, Dalton Bering and Hydraulics. Anything that turns or makes mobile components work, Dalton Bering and Hydraulics has it. A personal foul on the back end of a great run by Kelly tonight. Jerry Kelly has flat out balled out tonight. Has this not been a great football game?
Swag Kelly.
Yes. I mean, to me, he's been one of those guys who you know, he does what you like to see. He gets better every year. He obviously was a talented kid. He had his lineage, you know, being Todd Kelly's son. But even still, you've seen it so many times where a kid like that with a lot of accolades that come in, you know, their father was a great player, but for whatever reason, when they hit campus, it just doesn't turn out right. Well, Todd Kelly Jr., he's been one of those kids where, he has progressed every year and he's gotten better. So to me, that's an impressive thing to see about him. You know, at this point, you have to give him the son credit. Because, you know, a guy like that couldn't progress from, as Butch Jones would say, from their baseline, you know, without him being hungry every year and being focused and you know, trying to be the best player that he could be.
Saban's hair color, ironically enough, is either auburn, according to Chris White, or it's burnt sienna, I've been told. Burnt sienna. What'd you call it, Dubsy? Magenta? There is a crayon that you come up with.
Was that the really big Crayola box that had like
the
crayon sharpener in the
right.
back?
Right. As I was talking about the sharpener. Yeah. Fred X is wondering in Memphis, did you have a Jerry curl at one time? Jerry?
Well, you know, with my high top, I strayed true to it. You know, there were some guys right around 91, 92, 93, guys would have their high top fade, but then it would go like put a Jerry curl just in the top of it. You know what I mean? And give it that curly look. You know, it'd be kind of wet up there. A lot of sheen, you know, but definitely like it would give you that look like you naturally had just, you know, super duper, curly hair.
Let's go back to the phones. I really, 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 really hurt for Nick Saban tonight.
And, soak it up.
He's met his match, and the head coach at Ole Miss, who's the modern-day Bobby Bowden, hiding behind the faith, cheating like a maniac, all the while bending every NCAA rule humanly possible. He's so cool-looking. Look at him. So illegal. Love their program. God bless you. Here's $100,000. Let's go back to our phones. It's beautiful. Next caller in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. This is Sean from Cali. How you doing, man?
Sean in Cali. What's up, man?
Hey, a couple things. Last year I called after the Ole Miss game and brought up the special teams about how they kept the Vols in it for the entire first half. Outside those two kicks out of bounds today, how about that special teams, huh?
Isn't that amazing to see a game where you have a kickoff return and a punt return for a touchdown? That's
and
a great thing.
Too, man.
And the coverage has been very good. And how about the punter who's third in the nation?
Yeah, where did he come from?
Is that not an amazing story?
isn't that a great feeling? It's like that's where you belong, you know, in the top 10 in the nation.
Right. That's incredible. That's amazing.
That's what separates, you know, the number 25 team and, you know, a team in the top five.
It can really help you. It's a shame because it really should have helped win the Oklahoma game last week, because for three quarters he was MVP on the field.
Oh yeah. Incredible. But and diving at their quarterback's legs the entire game. I didn't understand that. Did you?
No, I don't understand that.
I was wondering the entire time what happened to Forum. But the main point I really wanted to bring up today was because I hear you guys talking about wide receivers. And by the way, I just want to say I love the show. I try and catch it after every game, even all the way out here on the left coast. But the wide receivers, when's the last time we had a wide receiver just not really even take over a game like we've seen Treadwell do during this game, but just have a really good game?
Well, you know what?
Just went, that guy right there.
That's our guy. Russell brought up a great point last week in the middle of that Oklahoma meltdown broadcast we did last week right here in the Ray Mirror studio when he said, who is our go-to guy? And I don't know if you can even answer that after tonight's game. Who is our go-to guy?
You see Preston in the making on it, but, you know, and you'd like it to be Marquez North, but it seems like, you know, that mindset that Preston Williams has, you know, is missing with North. You know, just that thing that you can't really account for. You can't write it down. You can't measure it, anything like that. It's just some guys got it and some guys just don't. And I really worry that North, and I love the kid, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's just, I worry that it's just, because there's always something with him going on. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're right. He can't stay healthy.
There's always something.
Yeah, you're right. And he trains so hard. I happen to know from knowing people in the program that he's one of the hardest working guys on the entire football team. He does not drink soft drinks, for instance, while other guys are partying. I mean, he's a guy that takes unbelievable care in his body, of his body.
And you can tell just by looking at him. I mean, you don't get in that good a shape, that ripped, just by, you know, by working hard 3 days a week. You know, he's an unbelievable, anything that I've seen, just being, you know, the couch potato quarterback. But, I mean, he works hard, but it seems like there's always something going on. It's just, maybe it's that mindset, that killer mindset sort of thing that you hear Jennings has and you hear Preston Williams has. But I mean, I just worry that something like that with the receivers and our inability, because we keep talking about what's going to win it next week in Florida. We got to have at least two or three different passes.
Well, the last time we won down there, James Banks made a tremendous play on a ball before halftime. One of those thrown up Hail Marys. Look, you got to have that stuff. If you're going to win in a place like that, you've got to have plays. Shepard made some plays last week in our building. Their quarterback made some plays, kept some plays alive, busted
Stretch the
plays.
Field, man.
You got to.
This spread power attack we have
is awful.
If we could stretch the field, this spread power attack would make this a top five offense.
But
we have to be able to stretch the field.
But they won't do it. And that's the problem with this offense. The other problem is, and Jerry, I want you to chime in here because I haven't asked you about this really per se. You can't play nine receivers. You said how many you had, Jerry? Five? What's the optimal number, Jerry? The effective number.
I always thought it was about five. I mean, you take five realistically, in the course of a game, you're probably going to play four. You know, if you play with, you know, a conventional, personnel grouping as well as you play, say, with three wides, you know, now you're talking, you know, two starters, maybe, two guys you can, bring in as subs. You know, if you go three wides, you know, that's basically like one starting group. And then, you know, from there, you basically travel with the guy that doesn't play that much. So to me, five is probably the optimal number that you take on the road or even in a home game.
And what you're doing, Cali, man, what they should be doing with this offense is guys don't come out until they're winded. And they look to the sidelines after four or five pass plays, and they go, hey, I'm tired, get me out of here, which is the way everybody else does it. How do you develop a rhythm when you're off the field after two plays? Plus, it doesn't allow you to substitute any more than it should. It does not allow you to substitute. I just don't get what they're doing.
That defense can't substitute too, because as soon as they bring, after
correct,
two plays, when they bring those, you know,
and that's my point,
those receivers off the field, that defensive line that's winded, the good teams like Florida, like Georgia, can substitute with their backups who are almost as good and still just as good as your young offensive line. It takes away the entire advantage of the no hurry.
No question.
Or of the hurry up, excuse me.
No question. It is a no hurry. Well, that's true. I mean, you kind of Freudian
right,
slip
man.
There, but they turn their hurry up offense into a no hurry offense.
Yeah.
And not only is it a no hurry offense,
that no man's land.
But then they're snapping the ball with 23 seconds to go on a play clock with the clock running. I mean, it's so bass ackwards. It's not even funny. It's like what are we doing? It is.
It is. You know, every position has that spot where don't be here, be somewhere else, don't be here, anywhere but here, but that's where this offense seems to be at.
That's pretty incredible.
It's the system, right?
I don't know what it does, but we better get a win next week.
Yeah, I know, man. This place, I felt the tension all the way from my TV. That crowd out there in Oklahoma last week, incredible. You felt it through the TV. You felt the intensity through the TV. It was absolutely incredible last week. I mean, the fans really do. I mean, we deserve better than that. I mean, I've been, you know, because I'm in the military, I travel all over the place, and I've been away from, you know, Tennessee for way too long in my life.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, we deserve better than that. We really do. We deserve better than that.
Well, here's how great the fans are here. Tonight's game was a sellout.
I know, isn't that incredible?
And it was literally filled. It wasn't just a joke like a Lady Vol announced crowd sellout deal. It was really jam-packed to the rafters. And it's an amazing testament to how much it means here. And you are exactly right. As a fan base, it's not all on Butch Jones. This is not his doing. He's gotten the brunt of the frustration this week from the fan base, and he didn't help himself on Monday with his stupid comments, and they are stupid, by the way. That stuff, I'm just going to call it what it is. Stupid is stupid, and that's stupid. And I've been stupid in my life, so I know stupid. In fact, I probably will be stupid within the next 24 hours, but I'm going to tell you something. He does not help himself by saying that nonsense over and over again.
Nope, not at all. And we're a pretty forgiving fan base. I mean, you've seen that over. I mean, hell, we gave Dooley 3 years. I mean, that's how forgiving of a fan base we are. And, you know, if he had just came out and said, you know, we screwed up, we called a bad game.
Yeah.
And we really let the fans down.
Yeah.
And we're sorry. We're going to do better next time. You know, we're going to take care of, you know, Western Carolina or Jamaica State, whoever we're playing this next week. And then when we go to Florida, we're going to take care of our business and we're going to learn and we're going to get better from this. Hell, you can even pull a Phil Fulmer, you know, we're going to look at the tape and work like heck. You can even say that, but just admit that you messed up and, you know, the fans will forgive you.
Well, I really appreciate you being there, brother. I hope you have a great night out in Cali, man. I hope we've served you well tonight.
Oh, you absolutely have, just like every week, Tony. And again, I love the show, man. Thanks a lot.
And Ole Miss does win. Congratulations to Ole Miss. The Bammer 17-game home winning streak is over. As Rob Williams says, there's going to be a huge run on Prozac in Tuscaloosa and other SSR drugs, Jerry. And we'd be gone as well. Watch the trees. And what else, Jerry? What was the anything else that we need to be aware of?
The NWO. To me, next week is going to be about, you know, the patience, not letting their defense get in that team going. I mean, how many times have we seen a close game between Tennessee and Florida on the road, and then, you know, be it their defense is the one that's just the catalyst, for them winning the game. I mean, you go back to the Peyton Manning years, that big hit on Joey Kent, I think it was. or you think about the T. Martin year when I think it was Alex Brown was getting loose. So like those things are important. So you know, the more this offensive coordinator can use our best assets, which for me by far it is our running back stable. Now letting those guys take over the game, shortening the game, and putting pressure on them like they put pressure on us to make every possession count. So I think that's going to be the key to next week.
Jerry, I thank you. I hope you have a Dwight Gooden. Great job by you tonight, Jerry Colquitt.
Appreciate it, Tony.
I love you, man. And yes, Jerry did just say NWO for those of you scoring at home. Russell Smith, 94.3, KnoxTalkRadio.com. What do you got planned for this week, brother, with Florida coming up?
Like I said, I'll be leading a nature walk.
You doing a simulcast with Steve Russell this week, getting ready for it?
No.
Are you feeling like we're going to do our part? Because I'm calling the shot.
No, I mean, I can't pick Tennessee to win that game until it happens. I mean, they had a better chance to win it last year than they'll have this year.
That's true.
So
they're never going to have a better chance to win than they did last
year. Doors open. You got to walk through it. I mean, a lot of it's on Butch.